The title of today's sermon is Grace and Truth. Can we say that together? Amen. John chapter 1, are you there? I'd like you to read for me. Verse 14. No, let's do John chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. Yes, a volunteer. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. New King James. Oh, King James. Just for that part. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. New King James or King James?
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Hallelujah. He came into this world. But not everyone received him. Amen? Because you get to choose. Amen? But as many as received him, that's a choice you made. Hallelujah. God offered him to you. Amen? And you chose what? To receive him. He gave you what? He gave you the right. But it's more than right. That's what I wanted to read King James. King James tells you, it's not just right he gave you. He gave you what? The power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. You are not born of blood, or the will of man, or the will of the flesh. It's not like, oh, you signed up a form. You signed an application. Hallelujah. You are born of the will of God. Hallelujah. It's the work of God in your life. And the Bible says that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, who was with God in the beginning. Hallelujah. And he himself is God. God the Father. You know, there's a song that I say, I walk with God the Father. And I walk with God what? The Son. And I walk what? With God the Spirit. Three of them in one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and dwelt where? That's why I always say to you, say, God is not far away from you. Hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. So say, you know what? How can you believe in a God that is so far away? Never. No, no. He is in heaven. But he also came down. And someone said, oh, but Jesus has gone back. He went back, but he sent the Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit now? He is here. He is here. So we say, God, he's here. Hallelujah. Now, how do you become a son of God? Or what made it possible for you to become a son of God? You received him and you believed on his name. Hallelujah. You believed on his name. What is the name? What is the name? It's Jesus. It's the name above all name. Bible says Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no other name. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. It's not a therapy that will save you. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not a therapy that will break your addiction. It's who? It's Jesus. You can go to therapy and break and get off of your addiction, but there's no guarantee that you will not go back in there. Hallelujah. But Jesus can do it. Hallelujah. Yesterday I was preaching. And this lady I was talking to, already from the way I saw her walking, I know that, you know, she must be an addict. But God gave me grace to see beyond the packaging to the soul inside that package. That soul is a precious soul in the bondage of addiction. Hallelujah. Now, the addiction may stop her from being who she ought to be, but still in God's eyes is a precious soul that he wants to save. But for God to save that soul, it's not enough to go and advise that soul and say, don't take drugs anymore. Because she's not got the power to do it. Hallelujah. God, we have to step in. Only grace will do that. Truth will say, you know what? Don't take drugs again. In fact, she knew herself. Hallelujah. She knew. But grace will break the power of that addiction. And without grace, she can't be free. Hallelujah. And I think that when grace works, it doesn't have to go through therapy. God can break it immediately too. So I prayed for her and I said, in the name of Jesus. I said, do you want me to pray for you? I said, in the name of Jesus, let the power of that addiction be broken over you. Be set free so that you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. That's why when the word became flesh, we have to behold his glory. Hallelujah. You can be hearing about Jesus and not experience what he can do for in your life because you are not beholding his glory. You let him pass you by. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Hallelujah. It is those who are giving him attention that will download his resources. You can be around Jesus and get no touch from Jesus. Give him attention. Behold his glory. Because when you behold his glory, then you will see him for who he is. Hallelujah. Some saw Jesus as the son of Mary and the son of Joseph. Say, isn't his father the carpenter? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? Are they not with us? Some other person said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He said, be quiet. He said, what? He shouted the louder. Why did he do that? Because he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he said, Jesus is not going to pass me by. Hallelujah. And the Bible said Jesus stopped and called for him. He's caught the attention of Jesus because he paid attention to Jesus. He said, what do you want? He said, Lord, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. I'm reading to you from Mark chapter 10. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what else is happening in the crowd. You have to behold his glory. Behold him. Give him your attention. Undivided attention. Hallelujah. Let the unserious people continue to be unserious. You don't have to be part of their club. Hallelujah. God knows you by name. God knows your phone number. He knows your house address. He even knows your email address. Hallelujah. When you behold his glory, what do you see? John 1:14. He said, we see that he is full of what? Grace and truth. You need both. You need grace. So when you say, I need grace. I'm sure you know that already. Amen. You need grace. But you also need what? Truth. If you have grace and no truth, grace will be taken in vain. It will be wasted. Amen? If you have truth and no grace, it's a struggle. You're going to beat yourself up and beat other people up with your truth if it has no grace. Hallelujah. John 1:17. Let's read John 1:17. John chapter 1 verse 17. John chapter 1 verse 17. Yes. If you have it, go for it. Who has my mic? Let's have someone else. John 1:17. Yes. I can take it a different version. New King James. I'll come to you. New King James, New Living, whatever you have. John 1:17. Oh, okay. Just a minute. There you go.
For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. The law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Okay, another version. John 1:17. Yes, tell us the version.
New Living Translation.
Yes.
For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That sounds similar. That's New Living. Okay. Let's have New King James or King James. Yes. I come to you, sir. Let me get the young person first. John 1:17. Go for it.
New King James.
Yes.
For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. They are all good. The law of God is good. Who gave the law of God? It's God, the Father. Amen? The law is good. But I'm not good in myself. Amen? Someone told me, he said, you are good. The addict, I said, I'm not good. It's Jesus in me that makes me good. Amen? Hallelujah. Grace and truth is better. Amen? Open up. Let's define them, because I'm not sure you understand what I'm defining. So let's define the law. Let's define grace and truth. I'm not going to go deep. I'm preaching. So I'm not go deep. Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 19. I want to show you that the law of God is good. And I want to show you that the law is good. Otherwise, you could not drive on the entry. Could you drive on the entry without the law? Is it possible? Yeah? It's possible, but there'll be multiple crashes. I'm sure you heard in the news about the plane crash that happened. So you see, without regulations, there'll be more crashes. The law is good. Yeah? But the law cannot save. Yeah? Because it lacks the power. Psalm 19, verse 7 to... Psalm 19, verse 7, is it to 9 or 11? Let me cross-check what we have. Psalm 19. Just give me a moment to see where we should stop. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. Yes? New King James would be good. Anybody who has not read, I can come to you. Yes. Thank you for your patience. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. Please look at your Bible. We're reading from New King James Version.
Yeah. The law of the Lord is perfect.
The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
It's perfect.
Converting soul.
Converting the soul. You know what? When the law of God comes, it shows you where you are wrong. Amen? The law of the Lord is there to make a difference. To define the difference between right and what? And wrong. The law of the Lord is there to define the difference between what is clean and what is what? Unclean. The law of the Lord is there to define the difference between what is holy and what is what? Unholy. Please continue.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Yeah, the law of the Lord is also his testimony. It's in the Old Testament. He said to the law and the testimony. Yes, continue.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure. What's his job? Enlightening the eyes. Continue.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together.
Amen.
Amen.
So you see, the law of God is good. The law of God is not evil. It's good. The job of the law, yeah, is to convert the soul. The law comes to tell you that you have missed it. Yeah? The law comes to show you where you have missed it. Where there's no law, there's no sin. There's no transgression. So the law of the Lord is perfect. His job, yeah, is to bring you to conviction and conversion. Yeah? His job is to say, look, you are doing wrong. Yeah? However, the weakness of the law is that it tells you that you are wrong, but it does not give you the power to become right. It leaves you to sort it out yourself. You sort it. See it, say it, sort it. You've been on the train, yeah? You sort it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the word became flesh, it came to give us something more than the law. Because it knows that we cannot sort it ourselves. Every time we try to sort it, we could make a bigger mess. Amen. Amen. That's why Jesus did not come to give you the law. What did he come to give you? He gave you grace and truth. So the next thing is, let me define for you truth. Because if we don't define these things, you won't understand them. What is truth? Open your Bible to John 17:17. John 17:17. What is truth? How is truth different from the law? John 17:17. Yes, someone else who has not read? John 17:17. Male or female? He created them male and female. John 17:17. What is truth?
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
What is truth? The word of God is truth. Yes? Okay, same person. Go to John 14:6. What is truth? It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. What is truth?
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen. So let me help you define truth so you won't be confused. Truth is the revelation of God. Truth is what? Revelation of God. That's why the word came to reveal him. Amen? Truth is also embodied in the person. Truth is embodied in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's the embodiment of what? Of truth. Truth is the essence or the principle upon which the law is based. See, what the law does is, the law sets boundaries. Yeah? But it is using truth. So truth is the essence. Truth is deeper than the law. So the law takes truth, and based on truth, it sets boundaries. But truth is the essence, the principle. Yeah? The re-revelation behind whatever boundaries. So in that sense, truth is greater than the law. Because the law is based on truth. You see, you can change the boundaries, but you cannot change the truth. The truth remains. Hallelujah? And the truth is the person. The truth is who? It's Jesus Christ. So you see, a believer in Christ, I hope you are with me, I hope you are not on social media or your bank account. Amen. I need your attention. Actually, you need that attention. Amen. That's how you behold his glory. Amen. So just for 45 minutes or 50 minutes, give him attention. Behold his glory. Amen. A believer is called to believe the truth. Yeah? Believe the word. Believe the revelation of God that is given to you through the word. The truth is not just a list of do's and do's and don'ts. It's the whole revelation of God. A believer, you embrace the whole revelation of God. You believe it. Hallelujah. You confess it. Confess is part of how you, confession is how you practice the truth. It comes to your, what you say. It comes to what you do. You practice the truth. We are called to live by truth. As a believer, you ought to love truth, not hate. How can you hate truth and you're a believer? Hallelujah. Truth. I love truth. So you say, I love truth. Because I'm a believer. And when I'm talking about truth, I'm not talking about facts. I'm talking about the revelation of God. The revelation of God is truth. The Bible says, let God be true, and every other man be what? A liar. Amen. Are you still with me? John 8. Let's take one more reading from you before I move on my mic. John 8, 31 to 32. We're just still on truth, and then we'll move to grace. From grace, we'll move to faith. Then I'll finish the message. John 8, 31, 32.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
If you continue. First look at the first state. They were Jews. A Jew is somebody who has embraced the law of Moses. Now that's not enough. Yeah? They have to believe on him. Amen? That's the entrance, but they have to believe on him. Then he now said, if you continue in my word, that's major key to enter truth. You have to embrace the word. Yeah? Embrace it. Let it be the basis on which you build your life. Jesus talked about the man that built his life on the rock. He said, he's the one that hears these words of mine. And I tell you, it's not some parts of the word. It's everything he has to say. Everything. You can't pick and choose. You can't cherry pick. The whole revelation, yeah, of what Jesus is saying is the word, is the truth. You embrace it all. 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 Amen? Everything is in the word, is truth. And if you continue in the word, that's the call. Say my call.
My call
is to continue.
In the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please continue, read them. Just repeat 31.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me explain that. If you continue the word, you see, the first time you come in contact with the word of God, you may not fully understand the truth. Your first contact is you are reading it. Yeah? Sometimes it's making sense. Sometimes it's not what? Making sense. But what are you supposed to do? Continue. Stay there. Stay there. Give it attention. How? It's not only by reading the Bible. When you come to church and listen to a sermon, you're also continuing in the word. When you go to a Bible study, what are you doing? You're also continuing. That's why if you're not going for a Bible study, you're doing yourself, you're church changing yourself. It's a church change. You know, like we paid for a buffet. Yeah? Then you showed up and all you had was chips. Chips and what? Chicken. And nuggets. Thank you. I'm telling you a practical case. It was a buffet. Well, first round, chips and nugget. Second round, chips and what? You are changing yourself. Amen. Continue in the word. Engage by every means possible. Yeah? Read your Bible. Come to church. Someone has said it before. That is so basic. It's the most basic thing. Sometimes, you know, I say something. The things of the kingdom are very simple. I didn't say they are very easy, but they are very simple. You are not the one organizing the church. You are even not the one preparing the sermon. Huh? All you have to do is what? Show up. You don't have to travel all the way to Morocco. Amen. Just next door. Amen. You just have to come every Sunday. Whether you're fasting or not, just come. Amen. It's simple. It's simple. When you, if you are working shifts, because I know people work shifts, including my wife. Yeah? That means that maybe once a month you can't come. But still come the other three Sundays. But if you are working shifts every Sunday, you have a problem. A problem that may stop you from getting to heaven. If you are doubting me, ask the Holy Spirit. Amen. Something is wrong. You need to do some adjustment and change something. Change, put a spanner and change something. Hallelujah. Before that thing changes you. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue. Come. Continue. Stay in the word. Then you will know the truth. Truth is a revelation that dawns, a revelation of God that dawns on your spirit man. As you stay in the word, yeah, you now begin to see, not with your outer eyes, but with your inner eyes. That's truth. If that truth, that revelation of God, the ability to see differently, just like myself was saying in our testimony, that makes you free. Hallelujah. You just begin to say, what was I doing that? Before, it looked like your life will never exist if you don't do it. If I don't attend the carnival, I'm not a human being. Amen. But as you continue in the word, that will lose its value. Amen. It's revelation. It will make you what? Free. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are struggling with a habit or an addiction. The Lord will not help you. The Lord will just keep telling you, you have what? Sinned. And you just feel so poor and so wretched. Can't help yourself. You say, God, I'm not worthy. Amen? Hallelujah? But the truth is more than the law. As you continue the word, it will empower you. You get to a stage, you just understand that I cannot stoop that low anymore. I am talking from experience, what I've experienced. When God gives you the victory, yeah, you look back and you know when that is your cause. I can't stoop low. It's like you telling me to pick up chicken nuggets from the ground. Some people will do it. I won't do it. I don't believe in any 5-second rule. Amen. I can't stoop that low. I'd rather not have any nuggets than to pick one from what? The floor. It's a revelation. It's a level you are now. Hallelujah. So when you know the truth will make you what? Free. Now let's go to grace. This is where I'm going to. I'm taking you higher. You see, what God really wants to give you is truth. Because truth will make you free. But you can't walk in the truth without grace. You need the empowerment. Yeah? You need what? The empowerment. You need the mercy of God. You need the compassion of God. You need the power of God if you are ever going to make it. Hallelujah. You can't make it just by your own effort. It's not ever going to be enough. It will be enough in some areas, but in other areas, it will not be enough. And those areas where it's not enough, it will bring you down. Hallelujah. So what is grace? I tell you, I'm preaching today, so I'm not asking you questions. Next week, I will ask you questions, and I will take questions from you if you have. What is grace? Don't answer me. What is grace? Were you going to say grace is my daughter? Amen. I told nobody, what is grace? Then it became simple. Grace is God's gift to you. Hallelujah. Grace is what? God knows you can't help yourself. But God knows that destination, God gave you a destination to get to. Yeah? He wants you in that destination because it's the best for you. But he knows that you can't get there because you are weak and can't help yourself. So God gives you what? Grace. To help you get there. Hallelujah. And I tell you something, you need grace. I need grace. We need grace. That's why Jesus, when he came what? Full of what? Grace and truth. Hallelujah. So let's define grace a bit more. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. This one will help you. This one is good. You know, this one is a special dish from the Caribbean. With all the spices. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. If you have the mic, go for it. Oh no, I said I'm gonna. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Who would like to go next? 2 Corinthians 13:14. Yes, this way. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Now, if you don't know what is there before opening, you're not really familiar with your Bible, because you say this all the time. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Go for it.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
The love of God.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
And the fellowship of what?
The Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Be with you all.
Be with you all.
Amen.
Amen. What version was that?
That was NLT.
Okay. Thank you. Now let's have New King James. Anybody? New King James or King James? 2 Corinthians 13:14. Yes.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen. The grace of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good start because we know that when Jesus came, yeah, it was, and we beheld his glory. What did we see in him? He's full of grace and truth. So we understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because actually grace is a person. Just like truth is what? A person. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And Jesus is also what? The embodiment of grace. But let me tell you how grace works. Grace is empowered first and foremost by the love of God. Amen. John 3:16. It says what? God so what? Loved the world. What did he do? He gave. That's grace. He gave his only begotten son. Let me explain. You can never be saved. Yeah? Without the gift that God gave, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. That is grace. That is grace. He came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. You see, Jesus came to die the perfect death. Yeah? So the sacrifice is a sin offering. But the sin offering requires that the lamb is innocent, sinless. No man could have done that. No man could have qualified. So, only the person that lived the perfect life could die the perfect death. So Jesus came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. That's grace. It's the love of God that delivered it. Amen?
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is empowered first and foremost by what? The love of God. God gave Jesus. Then, when Jesus was leaving the world, John 16:17, he said, it's better for you that I go. And I know that many times you feel as a believer that, oh, if Jesus were here right now, my life would be much better. Mm. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just wish I can see you now. I wish I can touch you. Anybody like touching? I wish I can hold you. Hold my hand, Jesus! Hold me now. Hold me very close. I'm about to fall apart. Hold me. Amen. But John 16:17 says, Jesus is saying, it is better for you that I go. And this is hard to believe, but he's the truth. So at least just out of respecting him, he said it's better that he's not physically here. Why? Because when I go, I will send to you the helper. I will send to you the comforter. I will send to you the paraclete. Yeah? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, grace, the grace of God is empowered by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the fellowship of the Holy Spirit can be with you all the time. Amen? Whether you're in Morocco, or you're in what? What? In Bramley. The Holy Spirit can be with you. Whether you're at work, or you're in the kitchen, or you're in the gym, the Holy Spirit will can be with you. But all you just need to do is recognize that He is with you. Recognize His presence. Yeah? And engage with Him. You know, there's no fellowship without engagement. Amen? If He is there, but you don't engage, there's no fellowship. He's there like He is not there. Because he did not recognize that he's there. You have to recognize it. You have to do what? Recognize that the Holy Spirit, if you are born again, if you are not born again, what do you need? You need Jesus. Amen? You see, the gift of God to the world is Jesus. That's the entry point. But the gift of Jesus to the church is what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? God gave the word Jesus so that we can become children of God. Now when we become children of God, the next gift we need is what? The Holy Spirit to live in us. That happens automatically, by the way, when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in. And all for the rest of your life, you must engage with the Holy Spirit. It's the fellowship. It's a fellowship. It's a communion. It's daily. You commune with Him like He's your friend. I mean, like He's your best friend. It's like the Holy Spirit always keep asking me, like, who is your best friend? I don't know whether that happens to you. As I'm walking about, the question just pops into my mind, who is your best friend? I think. I say, it's the Holy Spirit. My wife may not like to hear that. Hallelujah. But I wouldn't mind her saying the same thing. If I can say that my best friend is the Holy Spirit, and my wife says that our best friend is the Holy Spirit, our relationship is good. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit, being both of our best friends, will synchronize us. Amen? The Holy Spirit who will fix me, will fix her. Amen? It's double fixing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The fellowship of the Holy Spirit empowers the grace of God to multiply in your life. Just the same way as the love of God empowers the grace of God to what? To multiply in your life. Amen. So when you share the grace next time, just remember what you've learned today. Now, let me say something else about grace. The way grace works in your life, yeah, is in two dimensions. One, when grace begins to work in your life, it works as love. Love. You know, as you have received love, love must also flow through you. If love doesn't flow through you, you will not be changed. You will not be transformed. The love of God that you have received must work within you to produce love. Amen. That's grace. Now, other words for that, you can talk about compassion. You can talk about mercy. Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. It didn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. Do you know the difference? If these two brothers, they are gentle brothers. Hello, sir. By the way, today is his birthday. Don't forget. These two brothers, yeah, are having a tussle. And I come, yeah, to resolve it. I'm a peacekeeper. So, what's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacemaker? To be a peacemaker, you cannot be a peacemaker without love. To be a peacemaker, yeah? You are sacrificing and forgiving. How do you make peace? Hallelujah. You are what? Sacrificing. Someone has offended you. Yeah? You've held it for a while. But you choose to let it go. Not because they deserve it. They don't deserve it. It was an act of generosity. Amen? But you make peace. Hallelujah. That's love. That's grace. Because that's how grace works. That's how grace works. The grace works through love. That's why the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Then that love, as it's working, it will produce joy. Anybody likes joy? I like joy. Ah. When you've made peace with your friend, your best friend that you quarreled with and you've made peace, don't you feel joy? And then it will produce peace. Imagine someone who has nothing to resolve with anybody, nothing to sort out. Yeah? No cares, no worries. You have peace. Yeah? Patience! You can't be patient without love. Yeah? You will get even. Yeah? Someone insulted you, gave you a slap. Now you decided to turn the other cheek. You can't do that without love. But I want to understand that when you are able to do that, it's grace at work. You are releasing the same grace you've received. Amen. And it's also setting you free. Hallelujah. Faithfulness. These are all the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Self-control, yeah? Why will you control yourself when you know that you're about to experience something pleasurable? If it's just for the pleasure of it, you should go for it. But love says, hey, is that the right thing? Will that harm somebody or harm me? Sometimes people argue and say, what can be wrong? I mean, with love, we're not harming anybody. But what of yourself? Are you harming yourself? Are you performing an act of self-harm? And if you are, is that love? Amen. So that's grace working within you. Amen. It's love. Grace equals love plus power. When you come to God, for God to change you and change you to a different person, you must experience love. And you must walk. You must embrace love. Hallelujah. Truth. I'll go to truth. Truth flourishes in an atmosphere of grace. Amen? Without grace, truth is a struggle. Yeah? Because you know it, but you don't have the power, Lord, to do it. Or you know who you should be, but you don't have the power to be who you should be. Hallelujah. But when love comes, love changes you from the inside out. Hallelujah. Love is God. It's God's gift to you, working in you, to make you like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, that three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and what? And love. But the greatest of this is what? Love. And he said, freely you have received. And freely you what? You give. You see, you can't be transformed without love doing his work in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the second aspect of grace is power. Someone say power. I tell you, yeah. You need power. If you feel that you don't need power, you've not met a challenge of life. Amen? If you feel that you don't need power, you've not been thrown in the valley. Hallelujah. You need what? Power. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You need power. Without power, you will struggle. Without power, you'll be discouraged. Without power, life will kick you about. And you feel so helpless. Are you with me? God is not just going to give, Jesus is not just going to give you truth. He came to give you power. You need to do two. You need truth, you need grace. You need both. You need to chase both, you need to pursue both, you need to go for both. Hallelujah. Go for grace. And go for truth. Strive all your life to achieve the balance. Because grace plus truth will give you the fullness of God. Amen? Grace plus what? Truth equals fullness of God. I want the fullness of God. Hallelujah. I don't want half of God. I don't want one side of God. I want both sides of God. I want grace. And I want what? Truth. I want grace. And I want truth. Now every time you say you want grace, remember that we are saying that you want love. And you want power. Let me see how we're doing time. Okay. So let me aim to round up in 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Matthew 10. Open to Matthew 10. Let me show you power. Let me show you why you need power. Or let me show you power. Let's finish there. Power. So you say, I need power. See, power is not a bad thing. Power is the ability. You mean? Power is what? It's ability. If you don't have power, what are you become? You are a weakling. Sickness kicks you. You can't do anything. You're a weakling. You're just swallowing the medicines every day. Yeah? Because you don't have power. Poverty kicks you. You can't do anything. You're just managing. You don't have power. Satan kicks you, whether in dream or in real life. You can't do anything. Yeah? Because you don't what? You don't have power. And yet you are serving the living God who made heaven and earth. So let's remind ourselves of Jesus, how he lived. Because Jesus is full of grace and truth. So if we look at his life, we should have some idea of what grace and truth is. Matthew 10. Are you there, Matthew 10? Let's do verse 1. Matthew 10, 1. For time's sake, I was going to do 1 to 8, but let's just do Matthew 10, 1. Where's the mic? Matthew 10, 1. Yes, another person. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Someone who has not read today. Matthew 10, 1. Anybody who has not read? Matthew 10, 1. Yes, thank you. I come to you, but you go first. Matthew 10, 1. Tell us the version.
It's NLT.
Now listen.
Jesus called his 12 disciples.
He called his 12 disciples. Pay attention to this. Listen, go on.
And gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness.
Amen. He gave them authority to cast out what? Evil spirits. That's the work of grace. The work of grace is that a person who was supposed to be ordinary can face evil spirits and cast them out. Okay? But New Living did not nail it perfectly. It tried. Let's go for New King James. New King James or King James? Matthew 10:1.
And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power.
He gave them what?
Power.
What did he give them?
Over unclean spirits.
He gave them power. Someone say power.
Power.
I want you to focus your heart. I want you to see it. Now Jesus gave his 12 disciples what? Power. To cast out what? Continue.
He gave them power over unclean spirits.
Yes.
To cast them out.
Yes, continue.
And to heal all kinds of sicknesses.
How many kinds?
All kinds.
And then continue.
And all kinds of disease.
Let me explain. You know, sometimes the devil will try to deceive you. Sometimes God, they will say something like, God can heal sicknesses, but you can't do much about your diseases. Because those are long term. It's a lie. So it's a what? It's a lie. Don't believe it. Jesus gave them power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of what? Disease. I was like, realize, oh, so this was covered already. Matthew 17, he said he took our sicknesses and he bore our diseases. It's yours for the believing. It's yours for the believing. When you believe, you take it. Amen? When you believe what? You do what? You take it. That's what believing means. Believing to faith. Yeah? Is the ability to take it. You first take it with your inner hands before you take it with your outer hands. You first see it with your inner eyes before you see it with your outer eyes. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That assurance comes from the fact that you have taken hold of it inside, spiritually. The assurance is that you took hold of it inside, based on the word of God. That's why you are sure. Now faith is, I'm reading ESV, Hebrews 11:1, ESV. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The conviction, you see, you didn't see it physically. But why do you have conviction? Because you have seen it spiritually. It's not because you had a vision or a dream. You saw it through the word. You can see it now. You can see the reality with your inner eyes. So you have the conviction that this is for real and it's going to be mine. So say, wait, did you say? I saw it in the word. So say, but I didn't see it. That's your own problem. Amen. The responsibility to see it is on you. And you will see it if you continue in the word. Amen. You will see it if you continue in the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give them power. Say, I need power. Let's finish with Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Let's do Matthew 11. And then we will rise up to pray. Matthew 11. Verse 1. 2. I don't know. The same person who is reading. Just start from verse 1. I'll tell you when to stop. Matthew 11. From verse 1. New King James Version.
Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples.
So John heard in prison. John was in prison, John the Baptist. He was in prison by Herod. And he heard about the works of Christ. Continue.
And said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?
So John now is in a state of doubt about Jesus because he's in prison. And the same John that said that, I saw heaven open and the door what? Descending. Yeah? The same John that said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Time has passed. John is in prison, feeling helpless and hopeless. And now he's doubting Jesus. Say, are you the one? Or are we going to look for another? So what did Jesus, how did Jesus reply?
Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see.
Now listen to how you will know that grace is working. How you will know that grace is working. This is grace at work. Continue.
The blind see. And the lame walk.
When grace is working, the blind what? See, both spiritually blind and physically blind, they see. It's part of the mission statement of Jesus. I believe it. Do you believe it? The blind see. Continue.
And the
I just, for time's sake, I'll finish it. The blind see, the lame walk. There are people that are also spiritually lame. They can't make any progress. Yeah? They're handicapped. But as grace walks, yeah, they walk. Hallelujah. Physically also, the physical name what? They walk. Hallelujah. The lepers are cleansed. Someone who is afflicted with a disease that looks incurable, whether spiritual or physical. Whether afflicted in the body or in the soul, they are cleansed. The deaf hear, whether physical or self, whether spiritually deaf. No matter how hard you preach to them, you can't hear. But grace comes in, and their ears open. Physically also, they are open. The dead are raised, physical and spiritual. Some people are spiritually dead, many people. But through grace, hallelujah, they come to life. They become believers. They start coming to church. They start loving God. Or physically, the dead are raised. And then he says that the gospel is preached to the poor. And this one really caught my attention. Because really, the only person who is ready for the gospel is the person that is what? poor. Let me tell you, when you are still proud, you feel like I'm something. I've achieved something, you know, and I'm, you know, a big girl or a big, is it a big boy or a big man? You feel that I don't need God. I don't need the gospel. Yeah? Sometimes I say that the gospel is for losers. Amen? The Bible says that if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a child, yeah? You can't enter. Amen? But when you come to a state of brokenness, say, I need God. I need God like yesterday. I need God like today. This moment, you are ready for the gospel. Hallelujah? Because now God has your full attention. Let's rise up. So today, you can see that it's a package. What I want to take you away is that you understand that Jesus is full of grace and what? And truth. You want to reach out to them and take hold of both of them. Hallelujah. You need the grace and you need the truth. The grace of God is the love of God at work in your life. Yeah, you receive it. That affirms you, that restores you, but that's not the end. It finally transforms you. Amen? The grace of God is God's gift to you to solve your problems and lift you up out of your weakness. To destroy, when God moves in your life to destroy the works of Satan, that's grace. Say, Lord, I need grace and I need truth. Hallelujah. We're going to pray it again. Say, Lord, I receive grace. I receive your love. I receive your power. Oh Lord, let's just do that again. Say, Lord, I receive your love and your power. Let your power flow in my life. Every area of my life. That, and by the way, your life includes your family, your loved ones, your finances, your health. Yeah? Your any part. There's no part of your life that is not included in your life. So I receive your power into my life. Every work of darkness. Every work of Satan. Go ahead, pray. Pray. If you don't know how to pray, just repeat after me. Every work of darkness. Every work of Satan. Let it be destroyed. Let it be shattered in my life. Every way that the devil has done damage. Let there be healing. Let there be repair. Let there be restoration. In the name of Jesus, Bible says.